people were asking me, all my students, where can I find another golf pro like you? And, you know, for some of them, they meant another Black pro like you.
Welcome to Out the Trap, a podcast that's all about Black folks in the game of golf. Tune in every Monday as I talk with Black folks from all walks of life who are passionate about this crazy game. His stories from the weekend golfer to the innovators of Black-owned golf companies and everyone in between. My name is Anthony McNeil, certified golf junkie and your host. Let's get ready to tee off. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 2 of Out the Trap. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast. This young lady has been in the golf game for 30 years. She's a certified LPGA golf professional. She's the CEO and founder of the Black Golf Directory, the number one African-American golf resource. She's also the CEO and founder of JT Mobile Training, a mobile training program for companies seeking diverse customers. When I tell y'all she has a list of accomplishments, I am not exaggerating. Just to give you a few, she won her first golf tournament at the age of 9. She was named the first head golf pro for the Cleveland Metro Parks. She's worked for the LPGA and everything in between. I am happy that she was able to take some time out of her day to join me here on the podcast. I am happy to have joining me Miss Jamie Taylor. Jamie, how you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you once again for taking time out of your day. Real quick, before we get into all the things you got going on, I want to ask you and allow the listener to get to learn a little bit about who you are. And I have to be honest, when I started this podcast, I was actually searching to find another Black golf podcast, and I only found two, and that was the Black Golf Alliance, and it was Jamie's, the Black Golf Directory. Now, there may be others out there, but I could not find them. And if I couldn't find them, then they don't exist. So when I started doing some research on Jamie and seeing everything that she's done in the sport, I really wanted to reach out to her. And again, I am so happy that you took time out of your day to join me. Can you just please let the listener know a little bit about who you are?
Well, you said quite a bit, but I'll try to fill in a little bit of the blank. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, so that's my home, but I currently live in Sanford, Florida. And, you know, people are always shocked when they hear a pro from Cleveland, Ohio, because you being from a cold state, you know, golf, people don't think we golf all like that. But golf is actually pretty popular up north. And so started at the age of 7. My family, my dad, my mom, my brother and I took up the game together to some lessons, which I know is unheard of, but it was something my dad thought we could do as a family. And joined a program, a grassroots golf program at the age of 8 called Greater Cleveland Junior Golf Scholarship Fund, which I'm currently the executive director of, and it's still going 41 years strong. That's the organization that really got me hooked to the game because I got to meet other Black and brown kids like me who were playing the game of golf and playing for fun. And so through that program, I was introduced to competition. And that's where I ended up playing my first tournament at the age of 9 at Highland Hills Golf Course, Highland Hills Park Golf Course, excuse me, in Cleveland, Ohio. Very famous golf course. Many people have played there, known as a Black golf course in Cleveland. And there I won my first tournament. And then I was really hooked in because, you know, I'm a natural competitor. So once I knew I could beat somebody, oh, it was on. So I knew at that point my mind was set up playing professionally. So I did have my eyes set on the tour at that point. I started to compete every summer thereafter. And when I got into high school, they didn't have a high school team, but I still competed in the summer. So the school allowed me to start a team my junior year, Laurel School in Shaker Heights, all girls school. And then my mom told me, you know, you're going to have to get a scholarship to help pay for your college. So that's where golf became important. In that role, so I got a full ride to a school called Gannon University in Erie, Pennsylvania, and did 4 years of golf there, got my business degree, and then finished and got my master's, my MBA as well, my 5th year. So I didn't have to pay for my education. That was a golf did for
Lucky
me there,
you.
Too. Yeah, it was awesome. I was a D2 school, so just be clear, D2, D1, they usually give me scholarships, some kind of scholarship. So after playing at Gannett University for 4 years and getting my 2 degrees there, I decided I wanted to work in the golf industry. And that was something I didn't know for sure would happen because I knew I wanted to be in business. I knew golf, but I didn't see anyone like me working in the industry. So I wasn't sure like what that would look like for me. I started out living, went to California to work for the first tee of Ventura County. And that was kind of a cool thing because I always wanted to live in California. So I had to check that off my bucket list. And I got to work for the first tee. That was around 2007. Unfortunately, 2008 came and the economy wasn't great. So I ended up getting let go, moved back to Cleveland. Wasn't sure where I was going to go at that point because of the economy. But fortunately, because I had been working in the industry since a teenager, I had some connections. And that's where I got hired as a head golf professional for the Cleveland Metro Parks. So I was the first woman to be hired on that in that role. And then pursued my LPGA certification, which in 2010, worked through that process and completed it in 2013. And I've been in the industry ever since. You know, my latest thing, I moved to Florida because I wanted to work for the LPGA headquarters, which is in Daytona Beach. I was working as the programs manager for the LPGA Foundation. So I did a lot of junior activation with the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program. And I got to meet pros all over the country and the world. That was a really cool job. And then recently, as of last November, I've now gone out on my own as a full-time entrepreneur. And now I focus on my Black Golf Directory as well as my other business, JT Mobile Training, and really focus on growing the game with more diversity. So that's my current status. So that's all about me.
When do you sleep?
I mean, it's tough. I'm not gonna lie, it's tough.
You pretty much has been playing this game your whole life, it sounds like. Do you remember the moment when you said, this is me, this is what I want to do? Was there a particular moment or was it just a natural progression because your parents got you into it and it just was something you did?
I think, yeah, I always think back to that first tournament, like not, you know, 9 years old. You know, that was the turning point where I knew golf was something I wanted to keep doing. I didn't know what that would look like at the time, but I knew that I would stick to it at that point.
I'm assuming there probably wasn't many other folks that looked like you out there playing. Was that something that you had to adjust to? Was there any negativity involved or anything like that?
Actually, surprisingly, at that time, because this was pre-first tee, there were actually quite a few in Cleveland grassroots golf programs targeted to Black youth. So the program I mentioned, the Cleveland Junior Golf, that was predominantly Black. Then we had one white kid in the program. And then the tournament I played in, that was a predominantly Black program. So I was fortunate to be a lot. But to your point, after beating up on some other of my friends in the group, my mom was like, all right, we got to see if you really are that good. And then she put me in, more of the white tournaments. And I would become the only one in a lot of those events or what I'd bring one of my friends from my program to join me. And so we'd be the only two. And I knew then that I had much longer to go with my game and much improvement needed to beat some of the kids that I was playing against and those white tournaments because they had, you know, exposure to more lessons and, you know, country club, tougher courses. And, you know, they were just dedicated. You know, they worked really hard and I had to step it up.
You probably know the answer to this more so than I can answer it. But has that changed as far as the accessibility for the type of training that white kids get for Black kids that will allow more Black kids to compete on a more competitive level? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, I'd say yes and no. So yes, in that, you know, access to professional, especially certified instructors is, I think, more accessible. You have those, you know, golf techs and other type of resources that aren't at, if you don't have a certified pro or a golf course that's local to you, you could go to those places and those places could be next door to your grocery store, right? So those are good options if you can afford it, right? However, that's what it comes down to is the money. So, you know, I think, you know, in our community, we kind of always try to go the cheap route. And I'll admit, my parents, although they invested a lot in my golf game, I had a lot of teachers that taught me for free and they weren't certified. And that's not to say they weren't good teachers, but they took my game, you know, they couldn't take my game, but so far, I think I might have benefited had I been with someone who had, you know, taught tournament players and kind of, you know, have more time to spend. Because, you know, in retrospect, I think that's where I couldn't compete at the level that I probably could have had I had, you know, somebody who was really full-time dedicated tournament golfer, as opposed to, you know, the guy at the local driving range who just wanted to help a young black kid out, you know? So I think that's what our community is a little bit different. We're always trying to look for that kind of help. And sometimes you got to make that investment. I mean, it's worth it in the long run, but, you know, just seeing that you have to make that investment up front to get the results you're looking for.
Yeah. I hear you. Now, when you got into college, you were only the only black female in the whole conference that you played in. Correct. Were you intimidated at all once you got to the college ranks?
No, by that time, I had been in enough events and tournaments that wasn't odd to me. I guess it was odd to me because obviously in college, I didn't know what to expect on the diversity front, but I had gone to a private school, so I was used to being in a predominantly white environment. So it didn't bother me in the sense that I was shocked or culture shock or anything. But I will say it does feel lonely when you're the only one. Fortunately, my parents, that was one of the reasons why I chose the school I went to, even though I didn't want to go home ever, because I was very much like, as soon as I got 18, I was like, I'm out of here. But it was nice that my family could come and drive to most of my tournaments, because it was, you know, fairly drivable to get in a day to the tournaments that I played. Mm-hmm. I played in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, mostly a few down south tournaments. Okay. So, you know, having my mother, my father, or whatever family friend would come along, it made me feel that comfort of not being alone.
Are there any other siblings that play?
So my brothers play. One of them, the one that I, you know, my brother that I grew up with in the home, he actually played in high school and competed. However, you know, he didn't take it past that point, but he plays once a year still and can still play extremely well. It's insane. And my other brother dabbles, but nobody plays at the level I played. So, you know, I have to, everybody's always gunning for me when we go out to play.
I got started in the game late. I was in my 20s when I got started, and one of my best friends, you know, he took me to the range with him one day, and I mean, I was killing the ball. It wasn't always straight, but I was hitting the ball good. And I was like, oh man, this game is easy. I'm good at this. You know, I'll kill you in this. So he talked me into going out on the course. Man, I was like, the hell with this game. I ain't never playing this no more.
I know, right? It does look so easy. That is the reality.
And after that, I don't think I touched a club for almost 10 years after that. And when I'm a retired police officer. So one of my buddies that I still play with to this day, he transferred to our department and he was really into the game. And he says, hey, I'm going to start playing golf when I get off in the morning. You guys want to come out and join me? So it was myself and two other of our partners. We started playing every morning after work. And, you know, at that point, I just became hooked and I was playing 3-4 times a week and, you know, still no good, but it's just, I just love the sport. I enjoyed being out there, you know. And my youngest daughter, she played a year of college, or I'm sorry, of high school.
Okay.
But it wasn't for her, you know, she didn't stick with it. But my oldest daughter, her husband and his whole family plays. And my daughter, she, like, you know, like you said about your brother, she dabbles in it. So she, you know, it's a fun sport. And I wish that more of us could get involved. And I wish that the money side didn't always hold us back, you know. So are you still with the LPGA?
So I'm still a certified professional, yes.
Okay.
And, but like I said, LPGA, the headquarter or the company, they're my client now. So I still work for them, but as a contractor.
Okay. And this is going to lead me into the Black Golf Directory, this question here. But before I even ask that question, I want to ask you about your game. What's your best round you've ever shot?
So my best round to date is 77.
Okay, nice. How long ago was that?
That's been a while. It was I've shot it in college too, but I've done that a couple of times. That's the lowest I've gotten. I've actually parred a 9-hole round, you know, but for 18 holes, that's my lowest, 77.
Gotcha. My best round was an 84. I'm usually between 85 and 92, 95, somewhere in there. Just depends on the day. My short game kills me. That's what gets me every time. My short game.
Everybody's struggle. Yeah.
What's the strongest part of your game?
Not my short game, especially not right now. honestly, currently my strongest part of my game, and it's evolved over time. It kind of, you know, depending on the summer, the year. It's really been my drive. And I say that because my driver, every club in my bag is fitted for me. My driver, I don't know. It's like I can make it do whatever I want it to do. And I don't even think about it. And so it's not that I'm a long ball hitter, but I just the confidence and I can keep the ball in play. Don't have to worry about too many times hitting an errant shot. So that's the best part of my game so far currently.
Yeah, that was one thing about the game that I did not realize until I started playing was the mental side. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, your driver, you just have that confidence with it. Mm-hmm. And I know with me, my driver, I'm the same way, but some of my other clubs, I'll step up there and all kinds of things just start running through my head. And you know, you just don't have that same level of confidence.
Yeah, it's why my golf is so mental.
It is. It really is. Who's your favorite player?
So on the women's side, and I'm choosing her because I'm rooting for her, but I have a couple. So MB Park, to be honest, is like, she's
okay.
Besides just being an awesome player and consistent, she's does a lot on the other side of golf of giving back. Love Mariah Stackhouse though, because I just obviously she's the only player that looks like us on tour, on the LPGA tour currently, and when I've seen her play, I mean she's so tiny. I mean I'm 5'6". I consider myself pretty small, but I don't even know she's 5'3", but she hits the ball a mile and she's just so. And it looks like her mind is, you know, in the game. She's just awesome to watch. On the men's side, I'm old school. So I love Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
He just has an interesting game to watch. I realized that Phil, unlike me, he's the opposite of me. Phil does not like to play in the middle of the fairway. Phil's all over the golf course, behind a tree in the woods. But that's his game. And he does it well.
That's his game. Yeah.
So I love watching him. And so that's my favorite player on the on the men's side.
I like Phil. I used to hate Phil when I first got into the game. I think that's because I was such a big Tigers fan.
Yeah.
And just the rivalry between the two of them.
Yeah.
But now that as Phil has gotten older, I appreciate his game. And that's caused me to like him a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And like you say, he doesn't like the middle of the fairway. So, and I think that was something else I appreciated about him was his creativity with some of his shots, you know, because some of the stuff that he pulls off, I'm like, really?
Right. Yeah. No, Phil.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's why I admire him, because if I was a player who played like that, that's how I would want to play like Phil. But I'm boring. I like to be in the fairway and just keep it moving straight down the middle.
I hear you. All right. Let's get to the Black Golf Directory. Can you just explain what it is and what it's all about?
Yeah. So the Black Golf Directory is an online platform website, if you will, for people to find all things golf in the African-American community. So you can find professionals that play tour golf. You can find certified professionals like myself. You can find college coaches. You can find high school players, junior and amateur golf organizations, and HBCUs with golf teams, as well as golf business, Black-owned businesses. And so the purpose behind this platform, besides obviously being information for people prior to creating it, and I think I launched it in January 2020 when I launched it. When I left my golf course in Cleveland, Ohio in 2015 to move to Florida, people were asking me, all my students, where can I find another golf pro like you? And, you know, for some of them, they met another Black pro like you. And so, you know, I literally went on Google, like, okay, who can I find? I don't know anybody close by, but maybe there are, and I just haven't found them. So I'm Googling, and all I'm finding is like household names like Renee Powell, Charlie Sifford, Tiger Woods, so forth. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, and I knew I had a website, like you mentioned earlier about the podcast, trying to find Black podcasts. I was like, I can't find anybody's websites that I know have websites. So long story short, I realized that even though I wasn't building websites at the time, there needed to be a place for people to find us. And so that's what the Black Golf Directory is. It's a place that they can find all things in the African American community, current, you know, players. I don't have any past golfers on there currently, but yeah, if you want to go on there, type in your zip code or your city and state, you'll be able to find hopefully somebody nearby that you can reach out to help you with your game.
If you're a teacher or, you know, you have a Black-owned business that's golf-related, obviously, can anyone go on and submit their information, or do they have to reach out to you first and then you submit it? How does that work?
So, no, you can go on the Black Golf Directory website. There's usually a button on several pages that says basically submit your business or something to that degree. So you can submit your name. Now, what I will say is currently the pros on there, they're only PGA, LPGA certified professionals. However, I am going to eventually expand that to some other certification programs. Working on the vetting process. And the same thing with businesses. You can enter your business. Same thing with high school golfers. You can submit your name if you're wanting to be scouted by coaches, because it's really hard for coaches to find Black golfers that want to play collegiate golf.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But I will say, I try to keep the website as credible as possible, because what happens is, you know, some people say, well, I have a Black-owned, you know, business, and then I go vet their website and they may have one page dedicated to golf and the rest of it's like something totally unrelated to golf. So I do vet everybody that submits just to make sure that it's an actual golf specific company, because, you know, there's so many people popping up with new, you know, companies and podcasts and things, and it's great, but we just want to make sure that people go on the website, get quality information, and people that are doing golf as their like day to day.
I'm glad to hear that you vet the submissions. Getting back to the question that I was previously going to ask you regarding younger folks, are there any resources on the directory that can aid, say, an up and coming junior financially if they want to get training or anything like that, or coaching or anything like that?
Yeah, great question. So yes, first thing is, if you go to the junior section of the website, which you can see in the top of the homepage, it'll say juniors. The page that you'll open up will actually give a kind of breakdown how to get them started. Okay. If they already got started, but they kind of want to know how to get to playing competitively, give you some advice there. And then if they're already at a point where they're playing competitively and they need to know, you know, more what to do next or how to get ready for college, there's some information as well. But we also have other resources like scholarships that you can apply for. And they're not all, you know, those are not Black owned or Black specific. They're just any scholarships in golf that can be applied for someone who wants to play in college or are looking to get some kind of financial assistance, as well as we have, like I said, the HBCUs that have college golf teams. So if anybody wants to play the HBCU and they don't know if their HBCU has a golf team or if they have a men's or women's golf team, we give that information, as well as junior tournaments. A big question that a lot of people in our community don't know, and it's not, unfortunately, a thing that's easy to learn through word of mouth, is tournaments that are high level that can be played as a junior golfer that's going to actually make them noticed by coaches. So I have on there junior tours that, if they want their junior to be noticed, they need to enter those type of junior tours to be able to be seen, and also to have the coaches be, you know, consider their game worthy of noticing, because there's a false understanding that if you play golf on a high school team, that makes you college ready. And I can tell you right now, high school golf is nothing like college golf, male or female teams. And if you only have exposure to high school golf, no coach is going to want to recruit your son or daughter, or at least not give them money because most likely they're playing 9 holes, because of course it's in the after school, so they can't play 18 holes regularly. And the yardages that they're playing from are so much shorter than college golf that the score really doesn't matter, because it's not comparable to a college, you know, the score you would get if you played a college length course. So you really do have to play in outside tournaments as a junior in the summer months or any time of the year they're available that are high level, and to be able to be seen and noticed by college coaches and be eligible for scholarships.
Now, it's free to submit to the directory, correct?
Correct. Anyone, yeah, there's no cost to submit the information or be asked to go on there. There's no cost.
What's the plans for the site in the future?
Yeah, we got a couple of things coming
anything
up.
Anything that you want to add?
Yeah, currently we are launching the Black Golf Directory Virtual Career Fair. So this is our second year doing that. That's going to start September 27th, so this coming week through October 8th. So we're going to have big companies in golf talking about all the opportunities they have as far as full-time positions, part-time, as well as internship programs. So that's a free event. You just have to register on the Black Golf Directory website, and that way you'll get reminders and notifications on when things will, you know, the live, it'll be virtual. I should make that point. It's a virtual career fair. So you don't have to worry about leaving your home, but we'll have it live on social media on multiple platforms, as well as you'll get a full recording if you're registered that you can watch at your leisure. So that's going to happen now. I'm working hopefully to get a job portal going, but that's something, as well as, you know, for pros, we're working on subscription services because not all golf professionals have a website to promote themselves. And so that's something else that we have coming up. So we got a lot of good things coming up for the Black Golf Directory.
That's awesome. It's a great site. You know, I got on there and I started looking around and I was amazed at the number of Black teachers there are out there teaching in the profession. And I never would have known that had your site not existed. I take my hat off to you for coming up with this idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. And, you know, like I said, I've been playing this sport for 20 years now, and there's a lot of Black-owned businesses that's in the industry that I didn't know about. You know, and I don't know if that's because, you know, we don't always have the resources to promote ourselves, or, you know, we're just this little small blimp on the globe compared to the rest of the golf world. But I take my hat off to you, Jamie, for putting this together, because it's something that is really needed. And I found so many companies through your directory that I was not aware of that I have now started to follow on social media. And I'm starting to see, man, these cats are doing their thing. You know, let's get some more exposure for these people. And that was, again, that was part of the reason why I started this podcast. You know, podcasting is my thing. I have three other podcasts. I have a podcast network. And when I saw that there was no other podcasts that I could find, like I say, other than yours and one other, the Black Golf Alliance, you know, I said, well, here's an opportunity for me to get in there and at least help spread the word about some of these Black owned companies and just the weekend golfers that are just fascinated with the game and just want to, you know, just to give them that 15 minutes of fame, you know, just putting their episode up and interviewing them and making them feel important. And just, I think it's things like that is what keeps people in the game. You know, when you can feel a part of it and you can share on social media, you know, your podcast episode and tell your story about how you got in the game and all that stuff. So, you know, it's a small part, but I think it's needed. And can you do me a favor? Can you share all of your social media and the website address and where everybody can find you and go check out your stuff?
Yes, definitely. So you can find Black Golf Directory on Facebook, Black Golf Directory, obviously, Instagram. Same thing, and Twitter. So Twitter is BGD_directory. And I'm trying to think. LinkedIn, Black Golf Directory. And then, of course, the website, www.blackgolfdirectory.com. And you can go there to kind of find us there, too. But, yeah, those are all of my platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn.
Awesome. And I'm going to put links to all of that down in the show notes. So guys, please go over, check out Jamie, the Black Golf Directory, follow her on all of her social media, spread the word, let other Black golfers know about this website, because it's a valuable resource that we can all take advantage of. Real quick before we go, can you just tell me a little bit about JT Mobile Training?
Yeah, JT Mobile Training is a diversity consulting firm that I started in 2018. It was all began simply because, again, in the golf industry, as a professional, we don't really learn how to market to people. I know that sounds crazy because we're serving people every day. But, you know, in our certification programs, nobody's teaching us that. And so having a business background, I created this business to help specifically the golf industry, but any industry really, to learn how to market and retain people of diverse backgrounds, because I think that's something that really needs to be done on a ground level to help us grow the game and make it more diverse. So that's something that I do, like I said, as a contractor with LPGA and several other golf companies in the industry.
Nice. I like that idea. Any last words before we get out of here?
No, I just thank you for this opportunity. And I'm so glad to hear that, you know, you're wanting to share the information, because that's what the Black Golf Directory is all about, is wanting to just people to get the information. So having this as another platform to share all of the great things that we are doing, Black people are doing in the golf industry, I think that's amazing. And I'm looking forward to your future episodes and able to share what you're doing on the Black Golf Directory platform.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, and kudos to you. Keep doing what you're doing to spread the word. You have definitely made your impact in the sport, and you're going to make a much bigger impact, I have a feeling. So, you know, keep grinding and keep doing your thing. Guys, again, go over, follow Jamie, check out what she's doing, spread the word, and make sure you tune in for the next episode. I'm going to have my first weekend amateur golfer joining me on the podcast. Like I say, I want to give everybody some exposure and try to spread the word about this great game. This just popped in my head, but if I could go back and change anything in my life, I never would have played another sport.
What?
I would have played golf from the day I was born.
Wow.
You know that, but it is what it is. So I'll never make a dime from this sport, but I still love it. So
yeah, you definitely love it.
On that note, Jamie, again, I appreciate you, Miss Lady, for taking time out of your day. Guys, follow the podcast, spread the word. We're a brand new podcast, so we're trying to grow and get the word out. So spread it on social media and all that stuff, and make sure you follow us on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on. On that note, I'm out of here. You guys stay safe and keep hitting them straight, and I'll talk to you guys later.